The pandemic is not over, but nearly 16 months after the first coronavirus cases were reported in China, some epidemiologists are taking stock of what they've learned and what went wrong. Eleanor Murray is one of them. She's an assistant professor at the Boston University School of Public Health, and she joins us now. Doctor, welcome. You run through a pretty long list of mistakes in a recent editorial for the Washington Post, including that when the coronavirus started spreading here in the U.S., you thought it would get under control quickly. Of course, we know that turned out to be wrong.
Yeah, so this is one where I think I was a lot more hopeful in the beginning than turned out to be warranted, but you know, especially after 9/11, after SARS in 2003, after H1N1 influenza in 2009, there were all of these plans in place, ready to be mobilized. There were stockpiles of various different supplies. And so there was a lot of things there that I had expected to happen that really were not ready to go.
You and many others, certainly. And on the issue of masks, I want to spend a little more time on this one. You were one of the epidemiologists who was skeptical in the early days about the benefit of everyone wearing face masks until, as you write, well into March 2020. So looking back on this, why and what didn't you and other scientists understand at the time?
Yeah, so this is definitely something where, you know, having been familiar with the literature that existed, which really wasn't a lot before coronavirus, the evidence was really mixed. You know, we saw that in healthcare settings where, you know, there are a lot of high-risk procedures, wearing N95 masks really did benefit healthcare workers and keep them safe. And so, but in terms of in the community, a lot of the research that we had was very mixed. Most of the community studies showed that really it was the people who were sick that needed to be wearing them rather than the people who were concerned about getting sick.
Well, plus this was a new disease, which behaves differently, right?
Yeah, exactly. So in the context of flu, it seemed like, okay, people who are sick maybe are the ones that need to wear it. But the thing that's nice about the flu is there's not this long pre-symptomatic period where you can transmit and you're still feeling fine. Mm. And that's really, I think, the thing that changed the situation for coronavirus.
Considering how much you have learned over the last year or so, is there something that you will take with you that might help in future outbreaks?
I think one of the things I really learned is that without good data, we are slowed down so much in responding to pandemics. So, you know, one of the things that we really didn't have until quite late in the spring last year is a good sense of even just how many people were infected, who those people were, whether there were particular groups that are vulnerable. In the spring last year, you know, we had a lot of different hospitals all with their own data, all collecting different bits of information about the people who came in, and we couldn't merge it together. And if we'd had a single system, we would have been able to learn a lot of things a lot quicker.
There were other things that you mentioned in your piece about things that you got wrong. You say you overestimated how easily the virus could spread on surfaces. We've talked about a few of the other ones. What does it tell you about COVID-19 and more generally about the way pandemics unfold, that you did get so many things wrong in the early days and that it did take you some time to sort all this out?
I mean, I think in a lot of ways, it's kind of expected to get a lot of things wrong when you're confronted with something that, you know, you've never really had to deal with before. What's almost more surprising is the things that did go right. So, you know, we saw in a lot of countries in Asia, in New Zealand, in Australia, places were able to implement, you know, testing, tracing, isolation, and quarantine successfully in a way that could contain this. And so, you know, those are actually, you know, tools that we've had in public health for centuries in some cases. And it seemed like they did still work. And so I think that was pretty interesting to learn.
I mean, as a result of some of these early mistakes, though, you know, your critics have used it as an opportunity to jump on epidemiologists like you and experts like you. And I know that's something that's a concern to you. If someone is listening and saying or thinking to themselves, why should we trust you? You got so much wrong. What would you say to them?
I can definitely sympathize with that because I'm sure it's very scary for people to see information changing and things being wrong. And I think we may have gotten some of the decisions wrong, but the process that we used to get those wrong decisions early on is the same process we use to get the better decisions later on. And mm-hmm. so that approach of doing science has gotten us to a place where we do have a lot of tools that we can fight coronavirus with. One of the criticisms I often get leveled at me is this idea that epidemiologists somehow just want the pandemic to go on, that we're sort of power hungry and enjoying this. And I can say unequivocally that is completely not true. We're all exhausted and we would very much like to go back to, I normally work on HIV and HPV and cancer, and I would like to go back to working on that. Those are important public health issues. We would like this to be over too.
Wouldn't we all? Yeah, maybe soon. Eleanor Murray is an epidemiologist and assistant professor at the Boston University School of Public Health. Dr. Murray, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.